you so much for your will being done in this service. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you that we're going to leave here with a fresh understanding and encouraged and ready to go about your will and be and do what you have called us to do. Thank you for your will being done in this church, Lord. And thank you for a spirit of unity in Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Everyone give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sorry I couldn't be here last week. Me and Rachel, Jean, and the kids had to go up to the mountains. We had a swell time. We sure did miss you guys. Me and Rachel watched as much of the service as we could through the video camera back there. And we just worshiped along with you during the praise and worship service. I'm not going to talk about vacation, but it was a hip, happening, awesome time. And I think everybody should take a break from time to time. Beloved, go ahead and turn to Luke 22. Luke 22, or look on your bulletins or on the monitors here. Today we're talking about communion. This is one of these things that have been going on in the church, in Christianity, since the Last Supper. And for 2,000 years now, Christian folks have been taking communion, or the Lord's Supper. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I don't know if I've ever done a whole sermon on communion before, but I wanted to go back over a couple things and just kind of refresh ourselves on this. And this will be fresh food, fresh manna for all of us. This is stuff that we need to retain, ascertain. Luke 22, 19 and 20, right here at the Last Supper. Now remember, the Last Supper was celebrated over Passover. Okay, Passover was a huge celebration, a huge feast where the Israelites would celebrate and remember their salvation out of Egypt. God setting them free out of Egypt. And remember, in the Passover meal, they were to have a lamb. And there was everything that happened in the Passover, way back in Egypt, was symbolizing what Jesus Christ was going to do for us on the cross. So here we are at the Passover. Jesus Christ is about to be handed over to sinful men, and he decides to do this right here with his 12 disciples. Luke 22, 19 and 20. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is something that God expects his people to do from time to time. And that's why we do it at least once a month here at Victory Life Church. God expects us to do this. God wants us to do this. And we want to set aside time specifically to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. Amen. And I gotta tell you, I love the cross of Christ. I love pictures of crosses. I post them from time to time. I love the cross. And now this is just Paul talking, okay? So this is just me right now. I don't mind a cross that has Jesus Christ on it. I don't mind that. Some people take offense to that. Some people don't like that. Some people say, well, he's not on that cross anymore. I get it. I respect it. I agree. I completely agree with that. But I also do not mind a cross that has Jesus Christ hanging from it. And I'll tell you why, because I never want to forget what has been done for me. You know what I mean? I know he's not on that cross anymore. And thank God he's not on that cross anymore. We'd be wasting our time big time, okay? But see, I never want to forget. And I don't want any of us to ever forget what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen? Everything hangs on that. We are blessed people. Look at your neighbor and say, we're blessed folks. And that thing about the cross, that's just my personal opinion on that. Luke 22, 19 and 20. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 20. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." So Jesus is talking about a new covenant now. Well, for us to dig a little bit into the new covenant, we got to look a little bit at the old covenant, or we can say Old Testament, New Testament, okay? The old covenant, God had set this up. You know, there's a bunch of specific rules that God's people were to follow. And then the religious elite of the day built several fence laws around God's rules, God's commandments that he set up. There was all these things that the Israelites were to follow. And one of them was animal sacrifices. On a regular daily basis, animal sacrifices as a temporary atonement or temporary covering for their sins, okay? They had to do this all the time. A spotless lamb, a perfect lamb. Remember, we were talking about the Passover feast? Remember, the Passover had to be a perfect, spotless lamb, the best lamb they could get a hold of. Same thing here with the sacrifice. It had to be a perfect lamb, best one they could get, okay? And that's something that they had to do from time to time. And there was no direct access to God the Father. You would have to have a priest to go before you, okay? So this is the old deal. You would follow these laws to the best of your ability, and you would, and God, as you followed, God would give you his protection. God would provide for you. Look at 1 Samuel 12:14 with me real fast. It's right there. Talking about the old covenant. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. Verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. So that's a little tiny picture of the old covenant. But see, Jesus Christ says this at the Last Supper, as they're taking communion, he says, okay, this is about a new covenant. Okay, there's something that's going to change when I'm on that cross. Something amazing and wonderful, bigger and better than you could ever imagine is going to happen. So what we have here, look with me at Hebrews 10 and verse 10, talking a little bit about the new covenant that God has set up for us, okay? Remember, Jesus Christ was that lamb. Jesus Christ is the lamb that they were talking about at Passover. Remember, he was the lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. So it was no surprise to God when man fell. He already made provision for that, okay? Remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to get baptized, he said, "Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world." All this stuff in the Old Testament was a picture of what Jesus Christ was going to do as he brought in this new covenant, okay, by the shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body. Hebrews 10 and verse 10, And by that will, we all have been sanctified. You see what just happened there with the new covenant? Okay, like I said, you did not have access to God the Father except through a priest. But now, in the new covenant, the veil has been torn apart. And because we have that high priest, Jesus Christ, we have direct access to God the Father. We can commune with God the Father anytime we want to. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing we have in this new covenant. And we go from being God being our master and us being his servant, and those things are still true, but we are now grafted into the family. We can now call God our Father. Like Jesus was going around saying, and my father, that was his father. But then after the death, burial, and resurrection, what was done at the cross, we can now say and mean it, and it's true, that God is my Father. He is my Father now. We're talking about that new covenant, that blood that was poured out for us. Look at Hebrews. That's a big deal. That was mind-blowing for a first-century Christian, that God, the creator of the universe, who I'm to have extreme reverence and respect for and obey him, is now my loving Father, and I am now a joint heir with Christ. I mean, goodness gracious. This should be something exciting for us as well. Can I get a witness? Yeah, give the Lord some praise. Seriously. God is good, and I'm glad to be back, and I love you guys. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. And by that will we have been sanctified. By what Christ did, we have been made holy. What? Yes, yeah, sinful, nasty me. We have been made holy. Christ's righteousness, his righteousness, was put on me, and my wickedness was put on him. He paid for that. On the cross, we have a reason to rejoice. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So what is communion? Communion is where we set time aside to remember and be thankful, man, and show our thanks, our heartfelt thanks for what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and it's a celebration of what's been done for us. It is something that we are to take seriously. I remember when I was a little kid, and I thought communion time was just this, I was a little kid, so you got to cut me a little slack there. But you know, I thought communion was like a special little treat, man. I didn't quite get it, understand it. But we got a little grape juice, a little bit of bread. And I remember vividly, me and Tim Day, man, he was my best hombre growing up, man. My good buddy, that's Dan and Larry's boy. Anyway, we would goof off during communion, and we just didn't really know no better. But one time my dad set me down and he's like, okay, you need to take this serious. This is nothing to play around with, okay? So we need to have that reverence and respect for our Father. We need to have that reverence and respect for what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross as we partake in the Lord's Supper. Let's go to the next slide, church people. Okay, so we take the bread. We take the wine. And Jesus Christ himself said many, many times. He spoke about his blood. He said that he's the bread of life. Remember, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. What was another name for Bethlehem? The house of bread. What did they keep in Bethlehem? That Bethlehem was right down the way from Jerusalem, where the temple was, where they would do these sacrifices as a temporary atonement or a covering, let me say that, for their sins. Okay, and they kept those lambs, they kept those in Bethlehem. So I find that very interesting, you know, that Jesus Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem, you know, and it was called the house of bread. And Jesus said many times, I am the bread of life. Okay, see, that's just some beautiful little, that's free. You don't even have to put nothing in the offering plate for that one. Jesus, forgive me. John 6:48. Of course, you got to put something. No, please. Forgive me. Forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Okay. John 6:48. This is Jesus. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. This is Jesus talking to the Israelites. And he said, hey, your forefathers, they ate the manna that fell down from the sky. Okay, but something about that bread that came down from the sky, they ate it and they still died. Okay, now Jesus is saying that manna, that bread, and that rock in the wilderness where the water rushed out of, these are all pictures of me. Okay, anyways, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. He's talking about himself now being that bread of life. And this is the wonderful thing talking about being a Christian. And it's something that is just very exciting for me. Okay. In this world, man, we lose loved ones all the time. You know, people leave this world all the time. It happens every single day. But see, for the Christian, we don't have to be anxious about that. We don't have to worry about that. And that is a wonderful freedom that we have. I mean, you can't put a price on that, man. The blood of Jesus Christ was spilt. He paid a price that I couldn't pay. And so when I take my final breath, whenever that is, you know what I mean? It's going to be just fine. It's going to be better than we can imagine. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, if it ain't looking so good, you know, you don't have much money in the bank, or you don't know what's going on with your job, or you think, you know, your neighbor might have the monkeypox or something like that, you know, listen. You belong to the Most High God, all right? The Apostle Paul said this, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Christians don't lose. And give the Lord some praise. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So that's Jesus just a little foreshadowing of what he's going to do at the cross. See, there's nobody blessed like the Christians, you know. I mean, we don't need to be prideful or arrogant. Lord knows we don't need to be prideful or arrogant. You know, we're no better than anybody else, but we are blessed. We are so blessed because of Jesus Christ. So Christ gave everything. He gave everything for us so we could live forever. He felt the absence of God the Father so we can have direct access to God the Father. So we will never, ever be alone in our lives, no matter what you go through. Okay, you might feel lonely because your neighbor won't return the call or whatever. Now, I'm not poking fun at nobody. I'm just saying, man, as a believer, you know, Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for I'm with you. Fear not, for I'm with you. I will help you. We have nothing to worry about. God is with us. Amen. You're blessed. That's what I'm really trying to say this morning, is you're blessed. And look with me at 1 Peter 3 in verse 18. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, gave himself, his whole self, so we could live forever. And so it's important that we take communion from time to time and set aside some time and say, I will remember and I will be thankful for what Jesus Christ did for me on that cross. I don't ever want to go too far from what Jesus Christ did for me on that cross. Can I get a witness? 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins. So did Jesus Christ die on that cross and he has to do that every couple thousand years? Nope. Did Jesus Christ die on that cross and then he went down to hell and suffered for 3 days? Nope. On the cross, he said, it is finished. On the cross, he said, paid in full, okay? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. That's us. We were the unrighteous. We were the ones that can't get there without him. So why wouldn't we set aside some time? And you don't even have to take communion at church. I mean, you should do it. We do it, you know, if you want to. But you mean, you can take communion at home. You can, you know, it's just setting aside. Let me say this before I forget. Taking the Lord's Supper or taking communion does not save your soul. It does not grant you eternal life. It is a time where we remember what Jesus Christ did for us, so we have eternal life. And you know, there's some Christian beliefs that are different than what I would say ours is at Victory Life Church. The Catholics, or I'll just say this, some folks think that as when a priest prays over the bread and the wine, it literally turns in, once it's prayed over, it literally turns into the flesh of Christ and the blood of Christ. Some people may believe or do believe that it's like the bread and the wine is like a sponge, so to speak, and once it's given over to God, like a sponge can hold water, the bread will hold some of the flesh of Christ. And there's some believe that the moment it hits your mouth, it turns into the flesh. The moment the wine or the juice hits your mouth, it turns into the blood. I don't really sign on to any of that. This is about a time when we set aside and remember that Christ, his body was broken for us and his blood was spilled for us, and not one drop of that blood will ever lose its power. Give the Lord some praise. First Peter 3 and 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. See, that veil has been ripped. Talking about that new covenant, we can spend time with the creator of the universe. So I got to ask us, why don't we do that much? Why don't we spend time with God? He wants us to. Church folks, I'm always talking about reading the good book. Keep reading the good book. And if you don't want to follow along with us as we do the Bible challenge every month, just read it. Get into it. Read it. Read a chapter. Let it ruminate. Meditate on it. Chew it up. Obey it. But also spend time in prayer. Talk to your Heavenly Father. He wants to hear from you. That's a wonderful privilege that we have. Can I get a witness? See? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus Christ physically died for us. And yeah, we're going to physically die once. You know, that's going to happen, but we'll never die again. We will never die again. You know, we're going to leave this world, and pretty much it's 100% nowadays that everyone's going to die sooner or later. That's just the statistics right now. But we're gonna leave this world, but we're going to live forever. We're going to live forever because of what Jesus Christ did for us. So certainly we can remember and partake in the Lord's Supper. Okay, let's go to the next slide. I hope everyone's doing all right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:26. 1 Corinthians 11:26, it's on your monitor as well as the back of your bulletins. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we set aside this time to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We set this time aside to remember and to be thankful for what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. Like I said, we don't ever want to forget that. We want to keep that right there in front of us. So we also look forward to his return. How about them apples, huh? This is what we are to do. This is God expects us to take communion from time to time. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Verse 27. Now this is serious. This is kind of serious stuff right here. Because taking communion is something that we are expected to do, something we should do, and something that we should take very seriously. Okay? Now, check these verses out with us in closing. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. What? What is that talking about? Okay, we're supposed to take this very seriously. Okay, that's why I give that little talk before we take communion. Hey, let's search our hearts. You know, let's confess. Let's repent of any unconfessed sin. Make sure you don't have anything against a brother or a sister. Just let that stuff go. Give it to God. Matter of fact, unworthy manner is talking about, let me read this. I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess it up. Because in an unworthy manner means to, listen to this. An unworthy manner means to come in a spirit of disunity or division. We must examine ourselves to determine if we are holding something against someone else, and especially a fellow brother or sister. That's what that's talking about, man. Okay, so we need to make sure that as I'm partaking in the Lord's Supper, that I'm not holding any grudges against anybody, that I don't have any bitterness in my heart. And it is fine with me. It's fine with the, you know, okay, let me say it like this. If you don't feel like you can do that, then you know what? Just hold off on communion. Don't take communion, man. God takes it really, really serious, okay? No one's going to judge you if you can't, if you like say, no, I'm going to pass this time, okay? No one's going to judge you, okay? That's what we need to do if you cannot let this go. Can I get a witness? And by the way, we have to let all that stuff go anyways. That's kind of a whole other sermon, but listen, Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I know these people have hurt you. I know they're real mean and ornery or whatever. I'm not saying something bad didn't happen. What I'm saying is Jesus Christ forgave you, and he says, now you forgive these people. If I'm willing to forgive you, if I'm willing to forgive these other people that hurt you, don't you think, Mr. Paul, you should release these people as well? Okay, so God wants us to be forgivers. So that's what it talks about, taking communion in an unworthy manner. Making sure you don't have any bitterness or unforgiveness towards someone else, okay? God takes this serious, so this is something we need to take serious. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 22, let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine ourselves. Search our hearts. It's like what David said in Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God. It don't take long either. It don't take long. You just think about what you've been doing wrong. It'll come up real fast, man. You know, where have I been not doing what God expects of me to do? It'll pop up pretty fast. 139, verse 23 of Psalms. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. That's a dangerous prayer, okay? But listen, we're talking about taking communion. We're talking about God wants us to do this, and God says, hey, search your hearts. All right, let's repent of anything that's going on. Just give it to me, okay? And even in Scripture, it says this. It says this right here in 11:30, I think. 11:30. 11:30. All God's people said 11:30. 1 Corinthians 11:30. Listen, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. This is New Testament stuff, man. Okay? This is church aid. This is grace. This is new covenant. God says, hey, knucklehead. No, he said, take this serious. Take this serious. We're talking about what my son has done for you. All right? This ain't no game. Take it serious. This is why some folks are sick. This is why some people have passed away, because they didn't take it seriously. They didn't take it with the reverence that God expects us to take it. So this is a big deal. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Let a person examine himself, then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So take communion, but first search your heart. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning, listen to this. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Okay. God says if you examine yourself and you judge yourself, you don't have to worry about God's judgment. Okay. He wants us to do this, but he says, take it serious. Take it serious. This isn't some game. This isn't some little, some little fun little thing. This is something, this is a form of worship that God takes very serious, and he wants his people to do it. So I could talk more, but I think I'm going to just say I love you guys. And I'm really, really glad to be back. And please, 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 if you're a Christian, we want you to take communion with us. You don't have to be part of this church or anything like that, but it's a serious matter. It's nothing to joke around about, and we need to search our hearts, repent of any unconfessed sin, make sure that you're not bitter or angry or have unforgiveness about anybody else. Release those people, okay? Just release them. Let it go. Let God deal with it. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We love you and we praise you. We love you and we praise you, Lord, and we worship you. Thank you for keeping us all safe and let us be about your business. We just are so thankful. Thank you that you're going to keep us safe over this holiday weekend. Thank you for just allowing us to live in this wonderful country. Let us not take you or this nation for granted. And thank you for revival in this land. And thank you for everything. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So guys, listen.